And that was Vancouver's The Van Rays with the title track from their new album out now called Hey All Right Now. All right, Stephen.
Yes.
Hey, you're supposed to get ready on the mic.
Yeah, all right. Yes, so you want to talk me to talk about the other thing?
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. So the other event... That's funny.
Tell us all about it, man.
So the other thing that's happening is a long-standing festival in East Vancouver called the Crate Arts Festival, the Crate East Side Arts Festival. There is an exclamation mark after Crate. I just want to emphasize that.
Yeah.
But the it's a beautiful event because it's actually not just a singular event. It's a series of events running from, I think, running from the 22nd of July until the 28th. And the 22nd to 28th, and it has a whole bunch of events. There's stuff like events in breweries, stuff happening across East Vancouver breweries. I think these are kind of workshops with painting and music and stuff like that. There's the long-standing and very popular event called Indigo Magic with Naomi Yamamoto at Flight Path Design Studio, which is really kind of doing a dyeing event, like a tie-dye event, but with really cool indigo colors. There's stuff like sculptural elements in embroidery. There's stuff like the Turtle Island painting event, which I thought was really, really cool. And there's like weaving events, and there's music. There's going to be a big concert in the park, Strathcona Park, I think, at the end, where there's also, you can walk around with beer, and it's fascinating. And it's just kind of a cool thing to hang out in a community about. And I actually was able to speak with the person, and I think Reisberg, and she gave us a short clip about what's going on. And let me just play that right now.
All right. Well, we have the Create Eastside Arts Festival happening this year from July 22nd to the 28th. Please go to the Create Arts Festival website.ca. There you'll see the extensive program that we have offering this year. We have live music, which is new. We have some pop-up workshops that are happening in our craft breweries in the East Side. And then we have a full day of art activities happening in Strathcona Park on July 27th. Beer gardens, we have the beer garden, we have the festival concerts, we have workshops, we have art activations, you name it, we have it. It's a great day to come down into Strathcona Park.
And that was the artistic and executive director, Esther Rosenberg, who was talking to us just now.
Great.
And it's going to be great. I look forward to it. I will be going. So there
so the Crate East Van Arts Festival.
Exactly. It's a bit of a long name. It's a bit of a mouthful. But I think they've added more things to over time to reflect the diversity of experiences that's available. But it looks like a cool thing. Just go hang out on it.
What are the dates it runs?
It runs starts on the 22nd and runs until the 28th. So it
awesome.
Runs pretty much for a whole week.
Cool. That sounds awesome. And
tickets are online on their website. It's just say it's createartfestival.ca or something like that.
Createartfestival.ca.
It'll be fine.
Awesome. Great. Well, thanks so much, Stephen.
No worries.
Stephen Fan with some hot art prospects for the rest of this month. All right. We'll be back in just a moment with Hannah from The Peak, and I hear about what's happening in The Peak this week.
All right.
Calling to all young adults, the REACH Community Health Center is holding the YAM Club, a mental health workshop focused on self-discovery, self-expression, and healing. The program is every Tuesday from July 22nd till July 23rd at REACH Community Health Center. To register and for more info, head over to reachcenter.bc.ca/events/2024.
And welcome, Hannah. Hannah is from the Peak newspaper here at Simon Fraser University. The Peak has been the paper of record up here at SFU since 1965.
That's right.
You got some good stories coming up this week, Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for having me again.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you here.
So our cover title this week is Nearly 100 Jobs Lost. It's based on one of our news pieces by our copy editor, Michelle Young, called Concerns Raised Regarding Recent SFU Layoffs. Of course, it's around the layoffs that have been going on at SFU, and it's an investigative piece into the nearly 100 staff that have been laid off this summer. I think a lot of people know that these positions included administrative staff, like those in student services, like SFU, health and counseling, work integrated learning, etc., instructors, custodial workers. But she really deep dives into the anonymous tip that we got, that many of these laid off workers were either on or returning medical leave, and the layoffs disproportionately impacted women close to retirement, about like 77%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so according to APSA, the Administrative and Professional Staff Association at SFU, we got those numbers and sort of learned more from the associative director about SFU's lack of transparency around these budget decisions.
Yeah, that issue of budget cuts in general and layoffs has sort of been bubbling sort of under the radar here on campus for a while. You know, certainly staff, SFU staff have been definitely sort of worried about, they knew something was coming. And of course, that creates a lot of attention for staff. So it's really great to see it going from sort of, you know, rumor and people talking about it to some real information that you guys are bringing forward about this.
Yeah, definitely. And APSA's associate director told Young that, you know, if SFU had worked a little more closely with staff, like these workers, by consulting them in like a more meaningful way, giving them the opportunity to consult their own members as well, that maybe there would have been a better solution, and they would have found a better way to support SFU Med its budget issues. So, yeah, I mean, after these layoffs in May as well, SFU announced hiring for APEX positions. APEX being the administrative professional excluded staff, so it's like admin, not directly part of APSA. Due to
that, would sort of be like the senior management.
Yeah, like due to the nature of their work, so board of directors, legal people like that.
Right.
But Young kind of talks about how, you know, the alignment with like the layoffs and then right after them hiring for APEX positions is sort of, you know, it's just a little odd.
It's not a good look.
Yeah, definitely. So we're thankful that SFU was able to give us a statement for this piece, and same with the SFSS, them being able to give us a statement, really speak for like the students here at SFU. Mm-hmm. So this is a great piece this week in our issue.
Excellent. What's your next story?
So our next story is an opinions piece by Olivia Visser, our opinions editor, and one of our staff writers, Yasmin Hassan. It's called Opinions and Dialogue, Should We Worry About Performative Activism? Mm-hmm. And Opinions and Dialogue is one of our recurring type of pieces at the Peak, where two writers kind of discuss different opinions around a single topic. This one's, of course, about performative activism. And for anyone interested in the topic of performative activism around Orange Shirt Day, the recent hashtag Free Palestine, or even past movements like Black Lives Matter or hashtag Me Too, I think this is a really great article sort of discussing different perspectives around performative activism.
That's great. It's so easy to for so many to just sort of do the social media thing, which is good. I mean, you know, it's a way of raising your voice, but you know, I think often, as we see in so many issues, a lot more is needed if we want to have change, because we have a lot of problems in our society and around the world.
Yeah, especially with that recent, like, the All Eyes on Rafa, the AI-generated image on Instagram stories. It was shared over, like, 47 million times, but of course that's just a AI-generated image. It's not really showing anything real that's going on right now with, like, the Palestinian genocide, so that's definitely something to note and something that this piece sort of discusses.
Great. And and what's your third story for this week?
So our last story for this week that I'm highlighting is a features piece by Kaya Antic, one of our staff writers, and Daniel Salcedo Rubio, our features editor, and it's called BC Provincial Election, Candidates, Issues, and Voting as the provincial election scheduled for October 19 is coming up. Both writers break down what people should know about how these elections work, and they point out that this might be the first time some readers vote in an election. So if this is you, this is the perfect article to read as it breaks down what each party is standing for and proposing.
Excellent. Well, lots of informative stories this week in the Peak. How do people Definitely. Find all these stories online?
All right, so this semester you can read all of our weekly stories online at the-peak.ca and view our full digital issue all at once at issuu.com/peaksfu.
Yeah, and that's THE-peak,
yes.
com to find the Peak online.
Yes.
Or you can just do a quick Google search for the Peak SFU.
That's right.
But add the SFU, otherwise you get that radio station instead.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for coming in today, Hannah.
Thank you so
much. And we will see you here next week.
For sure. See you then.
All right. We are going to go forward with our segment, Gardening with Embark, the Embark Sustainability Society, and Pablo Vimes. And then we'll be back after that with Peter and...
The Robert Kennedy Jr. book, The Real Anthony Fauci.
Yep. Welcome, Pablo Vimes. We're here for Gardening with Embark.
Correct. Nice to be back.
Pablo Vimes is the gardening's manager for Embark Sustainability Society here
Correct.
At Simon Fraser University.
That's right, yes.
And you're just back from a little vacation.
Absolutely. It was time to take a vacation before the heavy of the work during the summer starts.
Excellent. Well, you certainly had nice weather for your time off.
Yes, it was very, very nice weather. And even this week is quite hot. We cannot complain.
Yeah, well, I looked at the forecast and it looks like it's we're in for a bit of a stretch of hot weather.
Yes, we are. And that really brings us as a gardeners how to schedule our watering times.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, in our gardens here at SFU, we've been watering early in the morning. By 7 o'clock, we are in the field.
Yeah, because we're here in early July and we're getting temperatures up to the 30s, which is not... Well, maybe it will be normal going forward, but it has not been normal up to now, those kind of temperatures this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. Quickly, what does that mean for the garden when things get really hot like this so soon?
Well, for our garden means that all the crops that like cold weather, they will be just bolting.
Yeah.
So we mean
bolting means
flowering,
yeah.
And plants are ready to make seeds. So,
yeah.
Which unless you are cultivating in order to have a seed, to harvest the seeds, is good. You will continue keeping your plants.
Yeah.
But if you are just harvesting for the leaves or for the flowers, like a broccoli and cauliflower, it's better to harvest before they go into
right.
full bloom. So, yes, that's one. The other is that plants like that like cold, hot weather and dry weather, like lavender
mm-hmm.
and oregano and thyme, they are just in their environment.
Yeah.
So they are really flowering, and
yeah.
this is the time that we can harvest the lavender flowers to make lavender syrup, harvest the oregano to dry them out, and have our oregano for this supply for the year, the same with thyme. So this is the time we start collecting, harvesting, drying, and processing for having for the next year. Yeah.
Great. So one thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago was that with some of the leafy plants that generally prefer the spring, but we want to keep them going over the summer, we would plant them into the shade of some of the newer plants.
Correct.
Does this
yeah.
kind of hot weather really throw that off?
Yes, it does throw it off. Yes, yeah. it's, even with the shade that we create still is too hot. The air is too warm for those plants too. The plants, the seeds will germinate.
Yeah.
But most likely the plant we don't develop as expected. So it will be very small and short
mm-hmm.
and they will go straight into flower.
Right.
Of which is what we don't want. We want to have more leaves before they flower.
Yeah. So I guess perhaps for those plants, we're not going to get what we're hoping for. But some of the other plants are going to love this weather.
Yes. Yes. The plants that like the hot weather are, for instance, beans,
mm-hmm.
the zucchinis. Zucchinis and squashes, they were very slow. At the moment, they are just happy to have this weather. So we are very glad that whatever seeds that we planted of zucchinis have survived
mm-hmm.
and germinated, and now they are thriving.
Right. So one of the plants we're harvesting, or sort of groups of plants we're harvesting now are are our herbs and such like. We want to keep those, you know, keep that harvest and be able to use it throughout the year. So how do we take care of those plants once we've harvested them so we can, stay usable and available to us?
Yeah, so let's take an example, oregano. Mm-hmm. So we'll make bunches before cutting from the plant. So what I do is I tie a twine on the stems of oregano, and then I cut my oregano close to the ground, close to let's say three, four fingers from the ground mm-hmm. up. I cut all the stems, and those bunches I put them to dry, air dry, hanging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you like, as I do that, and later I will just, when this all that dry out, I will just squeeze, and all the leaves will just crumble in pieces. But there is people who like to take each stem and strip the leaves and just dry the leaves, which goes much, much faster, because mm-hmm. drying a stem or drying a leaf takes more time. So let's strip the leaves from the stems, and you just dry the leaves, and later that you collect that. Usually I do is I blend it with my fruit processor, mm-hmm. make into a kind of a bit of small pieces, and that I just keep into a mason jar in the dark space.
Great.
So that's the way that I keep, and yeah.
Once you've dried them, you just kind of a cool, dry space.
Yes, and you can keep that for a year, as long as it's well sealed, well dry, and in a cooler space.
Excellent. So we're also starting to plan for our winter vegetables.
Yes. Yeah. Remember, week 36, that is when we are supposed to have our fall vegetables ready to go into the field.
Yeah.
But by that time, it was expected to have all the tomatoes and the coming up and being harvested.
Yeah.
But with this suddenly change of weather, perhaps we are talking by the end of September, mm-hmm. beginning of October. So by mid-September, we should have our fall vegetables, like broccoli, cauliflower, kale, to go, and we plant them for the fall and some of them for the overwinter.
Right. And we're germinating them now, though.
Yes. So now we are creating a small nursery in our garden. So that is the other thing that if we don't have a space, if our garden is too small, we can start a nursery indoors, mm-hmm. as we do in the spring. But if we have enough space in the garden, we can select a small section in the garden to start a nursery, and then we just start our seedlings and let for transplanting.
What does this kind of hot weather we're getting right now mean for that?
For that is like, so seeds will germinate very quick.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a challenge to keep the seedlings alive. So yep. water. And hopefully the plants don't develop too fast and they bolt. So it's a kind of a risk. So we can say, well, let's wait another week. Hopefully mm-hmm. when this hot temperature drops, we can start our nursery.
Yep.
And just to make sure that the plants won't bolt if they germinate. The other thing is the soil is so nice warm air and soil, watery, yeah. The seeds will germinate in a week.
Right.
So as well, yes, it's a good time that you will know that in a week time whether your seeds have germinated. Yeah.
Right. So we could even perhaps start some this week and save some more and start them next week, if it cools off, and just sort of hedge our bets a bit on that.
Yeah, perhaps. That would be quite a nice experiment to do. Yes, let's do it with a hot weather, and let's do it with a not-so-hot weather and see which one does well. Yeah.
Right.
Here in SFU, we are planning to start seeds indoors, so start the seeds indoors like we will do in spring, because the building where we are staying is very fresh and cold, so the plants won't have this to deal with too much temperature outside.
Right.
Yep.
Excellent. Always so much to do in the garden. It's nice weather to be out there among your plants, watering and taking care of them.
And harvesting, as I said, lavender. Lavender flowers can be harvested, cooked and boiled with water and sugar. Mm-hmm. And then you have a lavender syrup that can be the base for a lavender syrup lemonade.
Oh, wow. We might have to talk more about that next week. All right. Sure. Thank you so much, Pablo. Pablo Vimas of Embark Sustainability Society. How do people find more about Embark?
Yes, so Embark Sustainability Society is a nonprofit organization based in SFU, and you can find us at embarksustainability.org, and you can follow our social media at hashtag #EmbarkSustain.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See you next week.
Yep. And thanks to Embark and Pablo for that. Peter.
Okay, now now I get controversial.
So we're going to be talking about a book written by
John F. Kennedy Jr.
Robert Kennedy Jr.
Okay, John Robert Kennedy Jr. The real Anthony Fauci. Now, what happened was that this is quite a while ago. Now, Sunday morning, which is a CBC radio show, they interviewed Anthony Fauci about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I preface this? Okay, we got a bit of fireworks here for the last 10 minutes. Okay, I'm going to be critical of the book.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say I have not taken the COVID vaccine. So I'm on the side as such of this book. However, I'm going to be critical of the book and Robert Kennedy Jr. also. Now,
right.
We never talked about this on air, Magnus, or off air for that matter. Are you vaccinated?
Yes, I am vaccinated.
So I'm one of the unvaxxed. Two or more?
Magnus? I think I have four now. And I'm supposed to, okay. I'm actually right. late for getting, I got the notice about going to get my next one, which I will go do.
Okay, so I'm glad we haven't exploded the studio.
Good.
Okay, but anyway, so, and no, on top of that, for the last 4 years, I've been involved with rallies and everything, because there was somebody I know, a bit of a reactionary, I've known him for over 30 years, and he phoned me in April 2020, said, hey, there's these people protesting at Science World about everything, you know, the masks and whatever.
Yep.
And so I said, okay. So I've been involved for over 4 years, sometimes sporadically. There's some of them are not that as progressive as myself as I see it. But anyway, so I've been looking prior to the Anthony Fauci interview on CBC Radio, or the latest one. I've been looking at a YouTube channel, which is Debunk But the Funk, me being the funk, people that are not convinced of it for whatever. And I've been looking at that. And then he had one that goes over the book. He says why he thinks the book is wrong. Now, there's also a film. You got to go to Rumble, I think. It is the hour and a half.
That's a website?
Rumble? No. Rumble is for these postings you can't get on on YouTube because whatever.
Right.
So the other one is BitChute. Rumble's the other one. So the real Anthony Fauci is also an hour and 50 minute film someone did based on the book, and it's got Robert Kennedy Jr. kind of interviewed slightly. I've been looking at both sides, okay? Mm-hmm. What I think it's an emotional thing, as I see it, because both sides sort of say, okay, we have the evidence. Here are the clinical trials. The other side says, here are our clinical trials. Mm-hmm. Now, just something to not convince anyone about my side, I kind of think of it, I'm just sort of afraid of it, because I've gotten information about the vaccine. Other people are wearing masks on a hot summer day, not a minority, so be it. So they're still afraid of COVID. So, I mean, fear is just something, it's emotional. So having prefaced that I'm supposedly on Robert Kennedy Jr.'s side here, okay, the problems of the book, no index. If there's been a book in the history of the world that should have an index, this is it.
Yep.
Why doesn't it have an index? Okay, it's called The Real Anthony Fauci. Then, okay, so this should be a straightforward biography of Anthony Fauci, which it kind of really isn't. And actually, it's not. I mean, maybe the title's wrong. Just saying, why problems with the COVID vaccine, problem with COVID in general.
Would you call it a takedown of Anthony Fauci?
To a degree, but it's not. its only pinpointing source. I guess it sort of always brings him up because he says that they discredited ivermectin, and he brought in the other drugs. Oh, okay. There was something starts with an R. What was the one that they said worked instead of ivermectin?
I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. But both sides, like the thing about Dan Wilson, he goes through the book. Other things, like he'll have his studies, and Robert Kennedy Jr. has his studies. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, the first thing I saw was Dan Wilson. He said, how to combat any anti-vaxxer. So it was the first posting I saw. He's got a number of them. Go to his channel. Yeah. I'm going to advertise him. Anyway, so because he is interesting, but the first posting I did, so I went to this one. And he just said, there's all these clinical papers, and here are the links to them. Well, I would kind of like for me just for you to have offer me a few statements, not for me to offer a few studies. And this is sort of what Robert Kennedy Jr. does, too. Mm-hmm. He says, ivermectin, I actually kind of think it does. I mean, I'm taking his side on ivermectin, but he does say, here are the studies that say, and they blocked it, and then Don Wilson will say, no, and he even combats it. No, he's not talking about these studies. So it's sort of a very polarizing thing. It remains polarizing because the thing about a lot of the healthcare workers, there's some in this province who do not want to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And the deal now in this province, I think we're the only province in Canada that has this, to be employed, you have to be vaccinated.
Right.
And we're supposedly short of a few healthcare workers now. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is. I mean, maybe next week I'll just talk a bit about the movement itself,
sure.
My adventures with my people. As well.
So would you say between this book and the critique of it on Debunk the Funk that you get a pretty good overview of the arguments on both sides?
As such, yes, you would. You would. But as I say, it's like, I don't think they sort of cancel each other out, mm-hmm. in a sense that each side, I think, is not going to be convinced.
Right.
I mean, I have reasons. I just, like, it seemed to me that it was something kind of phony. And that's an emotional thing.
Yeah.
It was just for me from day one, I'm very suspicious in how the whole thing conducted itself.
All right.
Other people haven't been, like you.
All right. Thanks for bringing us that today, Peter, and we'll talk a little bit more about it next week.
Okay.
Democracy Now! Is coming up in just a few minutes. This show will be posted online this afternoon with all the links to the shows that Stephen talked about. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up right now.